Hey there, welcome to open class number 39. Hope you're doing really, really well on this Tuesday. We have three messages to go over. I hope it'll bring a lot of value to you and the person writing the message to us. Of course, before we get started, as always, nothing here is medical advice, just general thoughts and comments that I hope will really, really bring value to you and be helpful to you on your path towards sleeping well for the rest of your life. With this said, let's jump right in here. Let us jump in here and answer some questions. The first one is from Lynn. Hey, Lynn, by the way, sorry for this being late. I thought at some point that this was basically just a success story, so I thought I'd share it separately, but then I realized that it was actually, that there were some questions here. So let's go over this. Lynn wrote to us, Hi, Diane and Michael. I've been in touch with you over Facebook. I do remember that, but I'm continuing to struggle. So I thought I'd get in touch again. Insomnia started for me full on in June 2020. I've never been a good sleeper and had sleepless nights, maybe 4 to 6 times a year. Always recover the next night. All of a sudden in June, I was up every night with no reasons that I could pinpoint. I bought a book and started CBTI on my own. I hired a therapist. She was nice and helpful at the start, but I needed more support than I could afford, which was discouraging. Then I found your videos and felt like I struck gold. So I canceled the therapist. The education has been priceless, but I'm still having a hard time walking through some of it. I have been restricting my sleep since July. I'm up at 5 a.m. every day. I go to bed when I feel tired, but not before 11. Some nights it's hard to make it to 11. And then when I fall in bed, wide awake, you've heard it 1,000 times. So now I'm trying to embrace wakefulness, which is the biggest challenge of them all. My whole being is screaming for sleep while I try to sit quietly reading a book with my heart pounding. I feel like I'm lying to myself by telling myself that being awake when I want to sleep is okay. I don't believe myself, so I'm feeling like I'm doing mental and emotional gymnastics to get to a calm place. Obviously, that doesn't work. You have said, find things you look forward to during times of wakefulness, but I don't enjoy any of my hobbies in the middle of the night. Ha ha. I just feel super agitated while doing them when all I want to do is sleep. I go to work every day and some days are just brutal to get through. I have not taken anything stronger than melatonin, and I only took that a few times. I was leaving the room when I was not sleepy after going to bed, but on Daniel's advice, have decided to just stay in my bed and read if I'm not sleeping. I end up being up and down all the time, but at least I can stay in my cozy bed. I also don't watch the clock. What freaks me out even more is that last week I had 7 straight nights of falling asleep immediately and staying asleep. Wow, I was on a roll. I felt amazing and super confident. Then on the 8th night, boom, awake all night. I can't think of anything I did or didn't do differently and haven't been able to have a good night since. I know you talk about it a lot, but my head is just not getting it. When I think of wakefulness, my Pavlov reaction is a pounding heart. As I mentioned, I spent money on a therapist already, but I was wondering if you think I would benefit from either a month at the school here or maybe by using the app. I only hesitate because I've already listened to so many videos and done so much that I don't know if there is anything new those platforms have to offer. I really, really appreciate all you guys are doing and look forward to hearing from you, Lynn. Lynn, thanks so much for this this message. I think there's a couple of things that stand out here. One is, of course, that it's clear that you have you've really tuned in, you've really understood the teaching. The tricky thing, of course, and you probably know this too, Lynn, is that it pretty much anything you can think of can become an effort. The most well considered teaching can become an effort if it's used as a means of like trying to make sleep happen in one way or another. Like, for example, befriending wakefulness, which I love to talk about, which is like, being awake has become a threat. So do something you enjoy at night. But if you then, if that feels kind of like you're lying to yourself and you're like, I gotta do something that I enjoy. I don't want to, but I have to do that because I have to befriend with wakefulness. Then it's kind of forceful. You're trying to force your friendship, if you will. And then it becomes another effort and it keeps you in this loop of trying more, sleeping less, So that's kind of one thing I just want to point out. The second thing was that you said here that there were 7 nights where you slept actually well, fall asleep quickly and slept through the night. And I don't think that was a like coincidence or anything like that. I think that was because you were actually combining those 2 super, super helpful ways of Befriending Wakefulness, and The Timeless Night. I think that led you to a place where you're actually, for seven nights, you were actually letting go of control. You were delegating sleep to your personal assistant. You were not interfering. You were letting whatever happens, happens. In other words, you were becoming that person who is okay with being awake at night. And that sounds kind of like, to you, that may sound like that doesn't really sound true, but you were on that path, because if you had been completely resistant to being awake at night, you would not have slept well for seven nights. That is just not possible. So you were on the path. Then what happened the eighth night? There's no mystery there. There was a little bit of success regress. You know, you now had something to lose. You had been doing better for such a while that now, like, oh, I've been sleeping better for four nights. Could this really be true? I don't know. Five. Oh my gosh, this is really happening. But oh, six. Oh, if I make it to eight, then I'm good. I think I'm getting there. And then eighth night, it was so much pressure. Like, I gotta get eight in a row. Nah. Then the pressure became too much and you didn't sleep. No mystery there. It's just a little success regress. You know, when the way you think about sleeping better, not the fact that you're sleeping better, but the way you think about it becomes the reason why you then fall back, and then you kind of feel hopeless. And like, so that's a little success regress. And then I think that's a helpful teaching, just to understand it. When you understand success regress, you know, the next time you're starting to sleep better, you go into the direction of, I'm not going to keep track of how many nights I've slept well. I'm not going to expect anything from the eighth night or the sixth night or the seventh night. In fact, I don't know which night in a row it is. You know, that I think is super helpful. And in the question here, it was also from Lynn, like, should I, work with me in bedtime, or work with me and Coach Michael and our group of students in the Sleep Coach School? You know, the thing is that I don't think there's any, like, I there's no secrets. We don't have any secrets here. So there's no like secret insight that we keep with, you know, keep in bedtime or keep in the Sleep Coach School. We share everything we have here. Whenever I have a really, what I think is a really good teaching, good idea, I immediately share it here with everyone. So there's no secret thing hidden in the Sleep Coach School or in bedtime. But that said, I mean, I've had a lot of clients that have been on the channel for quite a while. And when you work with someone in a, you know, in a continual way, kind of a back and forth, it can often be helpful, because there are certain nuances or like just little things, and that can help. But more than that, I think it is just, you know, sort of like almost making a commitment and like being like, okay, I'm going to do this now. I'm committing to this program, this process. I believe in it. And then you have like the support and accountability of somebody who kind of walks with you. That can be really helpful, whether you need it or not. I don't know. I mean, again, everything is free here. We answer questions all the time, so it's completely up to you, Lynn. But you know, the benefits I think are that sometimes it's hard to be alone, you know, even if we have a community here. Sometimes it's better to have a little bit more support, but up to you, of course. Lynn, I hope this helped, and hang in there. I think those seven nights were no fluke. You'll get there. Okay, let's head over to this question from Anthony. Anthony says the following. Hi, Daniel. Came across your channel online having suffered extreme insomnia this last month or two. I'm a little perplexed by what has happened, and your insight would be very much appreciated. Thank you so much, Andrew, for faith in our teaching here, and I'm obviously happy to share it. I started struggling with sleep in September while going through a period of health anxiety about other issues. I always felt sleepy, but found I was waking up in the night trembling or having a panic attack or just struggling to go to sleep. Then as it became apparent there was no problem with the other issues, I was drawn to my sleep and naively asked for some sleeping tablets. I started taking them for maybe 5 days and tried a day without, couldn't sleep at all. So I kept taking them and had to up the dose after 2 weeks to get the same effect. After 3 weeks, if I didn't take them, I wouldn't be able to sleep at all. I've lost the feeling of being dozy or sleepy completely. My eyes just feel almost permanently jet lagged, but I never feel sleepy. I'm now at a stage where my eyes never feel sleepy, and I cannot sleep at night at all without taking tablets. when I do sleep, it's maybe 3-4 hours a night. I get concerned about fatal insomnia as it feels like I've never sleep naturally again, but I don't have any other newer symptoms. If you have any insight, that would be much appreciated. Thank you, Anthony. Anthony, you know, thanks so much for submitting this question. And by the way, for everyone who wants to submit a question, head over to, you know, I'm just showing this because the link is here. If you just head over to thesleepcoachschool.com, then there is a banner on top that says, like, have a question, and you can submit a question for open class just like Andrew did. Now, Andrew, very sorry to hear this. And, you know, it's very apparent how much you're suffering at this point. Your story, though, is a very, very, very common one. One of the most common ones. You know, you have a health scare of some sort. Let's say you were worried about, you know, you had tinnitus, or you had, you know, some, you were worried that you're diabetic. It doesn't matter what it was, but you were worried, right? And when you are nervous, worried, stressed, your brain is in this like problem solving mode. Like, you know, it's like trying to figure out if that sound is a lion or not. And in you know, historically, it was very important to get that right, because if you didn't connect the right sound with that's a lion, then you could potentially get killed by a lion because you didn't realize that. So when we're in problem solving mode, we're trying to connect the dots. So even though you had this other health scare, your brain was in this problem solving mode, and somehow sleep got on the radar. You know, somehow the brain got like, oh, by the way, there's this other thing going on. You're not sleeping that much. Let's keep an eye on that, right? And then even when that original health anxiety was no, you know, you weren't worried about there. Now the brain had found this other thing to worry about, this other potential threat. And as you said, you know, you went into the direction of like problem solving. You were like, maybe I should take some sleeping pills, which is a way of escaping, you know, which is great when you're facing a lion, you want to escape. But when you're trying to escape a perceived threat that is just kind of made up by the mind, it's not a real threat. Being awake cannot truly harm you. But so when you try to escape that by taking medications, for example, even though it seems to be helpful, like I took the medication and I slept, that seems like a good thing though. Is it a good thing? It's not a good thing, because you're training the brain to escape. You know, when you have wakefulness at night, you should escape it. You got to get away from it. That's the threat, right? And when you're doing that escapism, you're trying to escape. You're teaching the brain that being awake at night is bad and sleep is good. So you have to always try to escape, which primes the brain to look for this threat, which is wakefulness. So now every little wakefulness you have is blown up like, oh, that's wakefulness. Got to get away. And that's why, you know, the medications, quote unquote, stop working. It's nothing to do with them, really. It's just that you are being more concerned about wakefulness. It's a bigger threat now because you're trying to escape it, right? So now you have to escape even more. You have to take more medication. But even that just primes your brain to look to be even more concerned. And then the whole thing spirals out of control. And then you get to a point where if you don't take the medication, you don't sleep at all, which, you know, has to do with really... you know, my interpretation of rebound insomnia is that it has very little to do with the chemicals. It has much more to do with the fact that you know you're not taking it and you're really, really afraid. And then, you know, you don't sleep at all. So this story is a very common one, Anthony. And it's very common to be worried about SFI, FFI, and that as well. There's a playlist, by the way, for anyone who's concerned, that is in the description of any new video. So now, more importantly, though, you know, what should one do when you are in your spot, Anthony? Well, I think firstly, I want to let you know that anyone who is willing to learn and willing to be brave and make some habit changes will get to a place where you sleep well. But that being courageous is hyper important, because you literally have to go to a place where you're kind of confronting the perceived threat. You know, wakefulness is coming your way, and you have to kind of let it come your way, you know, and not escape it, you know. And that's, what does that mean in practical terms? That's like, for example, if you're on a medication, you take the same dose every night, no matter what happens, you make that you take that out of the equation, you know, that's a non-factor. And you, you know, when you set a wake up time, let's say at 6 a.m., for example, and then you get up at that time, no matter what, even if you slept very little, you show your brain that even if you slept little, you're not chasing sleep, you're not afraid of being awake. when it's nighttime, you don't check the time. You go timeless. You do that because you don't want to control sleep. You befriend wakefulness. When you wake at night, you do something that is enjoyable to you, and that is truly the way. But again, there's much more to learn, of course, but just educate yourself here on the channel. And like so many others, Anthony, I believe you'll do really well just by education and some habit change, et cetera. So hope this helped, Anthony. Let me know if you have any follow-up questions, and we shall go from there. All right. We have Charles live with us. Let's read this. Hi, Daniel. I was wondering, how do I let go of fear of having insomnia forever? Currently in a bad patch where I've lost progress, fearing I will be stuck. All right. Charles, thanks so much for being live with us. And this is a very, very common question, you know, and it often comes from a place of like hearing, you know, like horror stories, like, oh, I had it for this long, I had it forever, you know, things feel hopeless, etc. Now, the reason you have those horror stories is really that it's kind of twofold. There are some people out there, particularly in like, you know, Reddit groups, Facebook groups, etc. There are some people out there who actually identify as insomniacs. They don't want to sleep better in a weird way. And they want to be part of a community where they can kind of commiserate and talk about things, etc. And that often leads you to a place where you think, oh my gosh, people have this forever. But actually a lot of people identify with it in those groups. So that can be a reason. And the second one is that some people just never ever stumble across anything helpful. They're kept in this never-ending loop of effort, you know, try this, that didn't work, try that, that didn't work, try this, that didn't work, try it. And they never get to understand that it is the trying, it's the experimentation that is the problem. It's the problem solving that is the problem. So some people just never come across that and are stuck in this kind of in a loop of insomnia. But I want to say, like, almost go in two directions here. One direction is to say that there's no question in my mind that anybody willing to learn and change some habits and just kind of open-minded and willing to see things in a different direction will do really well. There's no question in my mind. There's no reason for anybody to have to struggle with sleep at all, you know? Now, as soon as I say that, you know, that can be, I truly believe it, and I hope you find that helpful, but it's almost like, you know, when you talk to yourself in that way, like, I just got to learn more and it'll be over, then it's almost like you're really resisting it too. So weirdly, the best, in my opinion, when you're really afraid of having insomnia forever is to say, okay, I have it now. And that's all I know is that I have it now. And I'm not going to try to stop it like immediately. And nobody knows what will happen forever. But all I know is that I don't need to fight it now. You know, I can work on it and let whatever happens happen tonight. And when you go like timeless like that, you don't keep track of how long you've had it. You don't keep track of what time it is at night. You try not to focus on like the future either. You're just like, okay, we'll see what happens tonight. If I sleep well tonight, that's good. If not, that's all right too. If you go in that direction, that is super, super helpful. So you're in a bad patch now, Charles, and there's always so much to learn. Like when you're in this kind of rough patch, you know, weirdly with insomnia, it's like the more you're suffering, the less you should do. So if you can be in this bad patch and you don't respond too much, you know, you kind of keep doing what you're doing, you don't look for anything in particular, then when sleep comes back, then you can see that, whoa, I slept a little better again. Without doing anything in particular, that can be a really helpful way to turn a kind of lemons into lemonade here. So Charles, I hope that helped. Stay in touch, please. Okay, so let's head over to our next question, which is, actually, this is a comment from today from Akshay that I wanted to bring up. Akshay has been very supportive, you know, left a lot of nice comments. So I really wanted to try to answer this one right away. So let's read this. Akshay said today, hi, Daniel. I was okay till now with whatever was going on. As long as I was sleeping late, but getting some sleep, I wasn't thinking much. It is 1 a.m. here. Yesterday, something happened. I don't know what, but I didn't sleep at all at night. The next day, evening, my eyes were so tired. I had a 2-hour power nap, but we know that's not enough. This shocked me completely. Staying awake all night, literally skipping one night, has never happened to me before. It was never this bad. I am even more scared because of this now. All the self-confidence that was built up has gone. I'm facing palpitations as soon as I hit the bed. If today's night goes the same way, I know I'm in big trouble. I don't know what to do. I was improving, but this incident shook me. Please assist. Thank you. Currently in panic mode. Actually, I was very sorry to hear this. Charles said, thank you here. Anytime. Thank you, Charles. Anytime. You know, what was I going to say? So actually, I'm sorry to hear this, obviously. But again, this is when you really can learn, you know, this is when you really have an opportunity to take a big leap forward. As weird as it sounds, it's like when you have a night where you sleep exceptionally well after not having slept for a long time, the real teaching point there is that you slept so well that night because you didn't do anything particular. You were actually willing to have insomnia. You were willing to be awake at night. That's why you slept well. That always comes from openness to being awake at night. Now, that's the big teaching point when you sleep exceptionally well, that really guides you forward. Now, when you sleep exceptionally little, you also have a great opportunity for learning. So what can you learn from having a completely sleepless night? You know, a bunch of things. But I want to say, actually, like I said to Charles here before, that perhaps the number one thing is, if you sleep exceptionally little, this has never happened to you before, and you maintain, you know, this non-engaging approach, where you just go, you kind of acknowledge that I slept very, very little. That did happen. There's no question that happened. But I will try not to respond to it, you know. I will try not to look for a supplement or pill or change. I will try to change as little as possible, right? And kind of like perseverance, move forward in that fashion. Then you will sleep better, you know. Things cannot go worse. That's just impossible. So things will get better. In that moment, when you sleep a little better again and you didn't respond at all, it's like magic. It's like, okay, sleep came back. Even when I didn't do anything in particular, that can be a real leap forward, you know, as opposed to if you start kind of panicking, you're trying things, you sleep better, and you're like, you're actually no better off because you think you slept better because of those things you tried, right? So it's really good when you have hit a speed bump like this to do as little as possible. That's number one. Number two, you know, the brain is always there to keep you safe. So it always wants to make sure that it's not missing anything important, you know? And that's why so often you hear the brain saying, this is unusual. You've had trouble sleeping before, but not like this. It's never been this bad. This thing has never happened. This is different, you know? That's the brain trying to make you focus on sleep and so that you're not, quote unquote, missing anything, which again is great if you were dealing with a real threat. A potential real threat out there. It's good to not miss anything, but insomnia is a perceived threat. So the brain's basically just confused. It's trying to make sure you're not missing anything, but there's actually nothing there to miss. But the whole process of like, it's never been this bad before. What am I gonna, you know, that is very, that leads you towards having more trouble sleeping. So I think here, the one thing that's super important is just to understand that the brain is always trying to keep you safe. And when it tells you things like, you know, this is unique, this never happened, this is new, that's where it comes from. It comes from a place of safety. When you understand that, it becomes a little bit easier to go, okay, brain, I know why you're trying to tell me it's never been this bad, this is new, something is different. I know why you're trying to tell me that. And as I know that, I don't feel a need to really respond too much to it. So I think that was like the real important things, Akshay. And maybe there was one more. This incident shook me. So yeah. There was one more thing I wanted to comment on, which was confidence. You know, I hear this very often that a client or somebody on a YouTube channel tells me, like, I had for quite a long time, over weeks, I've been kind of slowly building confidence. And now this thing happened Now it's all gone. Well, confidence is good. And I think what I mean with like sleep confidence is that not so much confidence that like I can sleep on a night to night basis, you know, or I can make myself sleep or I have the tools to sleep. That's actually takes you in the opposite direction. That's kind of effort, right? But if you have sleep confidence in the sense that I know there's nothing wrong with me, I know I can sleep, I know there's nothing, I don't have a disease or disorder, nothing is wrong with me. Confidence in that is good, you know? I think it's good to have that. But any type of confidence can be shaken easily. There's nothing strange with completely losing confidence. That can happen to anyone. And, you know, you can be the greatest skater on earth and then something happens and you completely think, I can't skate. You know, that can happen. But as opposed to perhaps the skating analogy here, what you can't lose is education, understanding, knowledge, you know? So that's why I think understanding, you know, knowledge trumps everything, because you cannot, nobody can take that away from you. So if you lose confidence, that can happen. Confidence can go and come back, but just focus on learning and understanding. That takes you a long way. And again, nobody can take that away from you. So very well. I think actually hang in there. Charles, thanks so much. Lynn and Anthony as well. I hope this brought value to you. And anyone out there who would like some more, like perhaps Lynn or maybe not, but anyone really out there who would like some more support guidance and a nice community of students, then please check out our self-coaching master program, which you find on the sleepcoachschool.com. I have been it's been really, really fun teaching in that group. And then we also have bedtime, of course. I am coaching there. Please consider it, particularly if maybe you're on the go, maybe you don't have as much flexibility with time. So it's a good, really, really good option for you. So with that said, look forward to having you back tomorrow. And I hope you'll join me soon again. So yeah, that's it. Bye now. Bye-bye.